our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. And Valerie wants to talk about what today?
I'd like to talk about trusting the Lord for your husband's spirituality.
Trusting the Lord for your husband's spirituality. That's a great topic, Val. I'm thankful for that. And I was thinking this morning of the verse in 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 10 says, "For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, nothing could be more calculated to cut right across our human nature than that list: weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. And Val was, shall we say, suffering some hardships last night because there were all kinds of unbelievable delays in her plane getting from Orange County, California to St. Louis, Missouri, and she was supposed to come into Lincoln, and you went into
Omaha.
Her luggage came to Lincoln. So there are many mysteries in the way the airlines operate. But do we know how to delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties? And Paul says this astonishing thing, that they are literally meant to teach us that it is through them that the power of Christ rests upon us. Now, this subject of husbands, I receive very many letters, Val, from women who find it extremely difficult to trust their husbands in much of anything, especially in this matter that you have suggested. What would you like to tell us about that?
Well, I'd like to go back to the Bible. 1 Peter 3 gives us many injunctions of what we are to do about our husband's spirituality. Very clear, very practical advice. And so I'll read 1 Peter 3 for a few verses. "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that, if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." When you started out with those weakness verses, I thought of how my husband and I first got to know each other. Many of you know the story that my husband lived in my mother's house as a boarder while he was at seminary, while I was at Wheaton College. When I lived at home for 4 months and Walt and I fell in love with each other, and then he asked me to marry him, my mother, you, Mama, gave us some good advice, and one of the pieces of advice was, remember that you're marrying a sinner, and you will have times when you will hurt each other, or you will argue, and you will be horrified at your own sin or your husband's sin. And we looked at each other with starry eyes and thought, well, we couldn't imagine hurting each other, and we couldn't even see the sin in each other's lives. In fact, I laugh when I think about it. We were engaged for 17 months. I don't think I ever saw any sin that I recognized until our honeymoon. I didn't even see that he was a sinner.
Tell us what happened on your honeymoon.
On our honeymoon. We were going to St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands for our first week of our honeymoon. And he had set up a budget for how much we could spend on food for the week. And we were planning to eat our breakfast and lunch in our little apartment and then go out to eat at dinner time. So the very first day we were there, we had to go to the grocery store. Well, he had not counted on the high duty tax, is that what it's called, for the food that's imported into St. Thomas. So when we started going down the aisles, I, very excited and eager to buy the food for my new husband to cook and prepare for him, he began to see the prices and began to say, I don't want anything. I don't think we need to buy anything. Well, we'll just have cereal or peanut butter and jelly. And that was it. And my hopes began to be dashed, and I kept looking to him asking, what can we buy? And he kept saying, I don't want to buy anything. And he was irritated, and I had never seen him that way, as far as I know, during those 17 months. So we did get a few things, and we went back to the apartment, and I cried and he cried when we both recognized what had happened in the grocery store. And we both, of course, asked forgiveness, and it was our first facing reality together of what troubles money can cause. We did eat that week. We had a very enjoyable week, but it was just that first day of having to practically face what we should do about food. Anyway, the weakness I recognized in myself and in him, and Paul is saying there that he actually rejoiced in his weaknesses. Well, over the years, I've been married now 20 years, I have seen my weakness more and more clearly, my weaknesses, my sins, my inconsistencies, and of course, I've seen Walt's more and more clearly. But I can honestly say I've grown to love him more and more as I've learned to practice being thankful for him. And these verses, first of all, say, be submissive to your husband. So that would be the first injunction, to accept his authority. I know when I first got married that I thought, oh yeah, that's going to be easy because I want to. I want his leadership. I want to submit to him. But it was a shock to me to find out how many things I disagreed with him on. Many, many, many things. It was continually an eye-opener. In fact, I didn't even realize how much I was insubmissive until one time, I don't remember how long we'd been married, my husband said to me, Val, do you think when we're with our church people, you could try not to disagree with me? He said, it's okay if you're going to disagree when we're alone, but in front of people, we need to show loyalty to one another, and I was showing disloyalty.
And he is the pastor
of
a church.
He's the pastor of a church, right. So accepting your husband's authority, because he has the leadership role in the home, was something that I didn't reckon with when I knew that I wanted to submit to him. I didn't know how hard that would be, and I didn't know how much I would disagree with his way of looking at things and his way he told stories. I didn't realize until maybe we had been married 3 years how often I would interrupt him and try to change the way he had told the story in front of other people. But to accept his authority means to quietly trust in the Lord's guiding him to be the leader and the Lord's using him to be the head of the house.
I think that's an extremely important concept that we have a hard time getting through our thick heads, isn't it? That this is the man that God chose for you.
Exactly.
And it is God who conferred on him the divine office of headship.
Right.
So even when we think that they are making a mistake, and in my experience, I don't have any problem with submission unless I think my husband is making a mistake.
Making a mistake, right.
That is when we have to trust God. What did you say the title of today's talk is?
Trust God for your husband's spirituality. One day, we had been married about 3 years, when I was terribly disappointed, and it was probably one evening I was getting ready for bed. I was terribly disappointed in Walt's not doing what I wanted him to do or doing something that I didn't want him to do. I don't remember the specific thing that had happened. But I was taking a shower, and I realized how unhappy I was with him. And it was as if the Lord suddenly said to me, I didn't hear his voice audibly, but I just knew in my heart that I was not to find my happiness in the way my husband behaved. I was not to find my security in whether he did all that I wanted him to do. And the Lord was saying, I am to be your security completely, totally. I've given you to him as a companion, and I've given him to you to be your leader and your head. And yes, he may disappoint you, but your security and your happiness does not lie in whether he does all that you want him to do. And so it was a great revelation at that time for me to say, okay, my security lies in the Lord alone, and I will continue to try to find that security there rather than in my husband. When there have been times, as you said, when your husband, you think your husband is making a mistake, that trusting, quiet spirit before the Lord of entrusting yourself into the Lord's hands and knowing that because your husband is your authority over you, the Lord will take care of whatever is going to happen to you through your husband's decisions. And if it's a wrong decision, that's okay. God allowed it for some reason. So to submit to him is really a more trusting and restful place than it is to not submit, because to not submit means that we're trying to be in control of it instead of letting God be in control.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.